Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today it's Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 25. Jesus was giving advice Last time, Jesus was giving advice on where to sit and who to invite to a banquet in the home of a Pharisee. Surrounded by sort of other scribes and Pharisees, he talked about sitting in a place that's lower. As opposed to a place that if you take the place of honor, you risk being pushed down when someone of greater honor comes. If you sit at the place of the least amount of honor, then the chances are the host is going to invite you to sit up higher. Because where you sit at the table does speak to your position in the community. And so Jesus would give some practical advice. But he also then said to those throwing a banquet, not to simply invite your clique, your family and friends who can repay you by inviting you to their banquets, but in fact to invite those out on the margins, those who can't invite you back, because they can't afford to throw their own banquets, or that's not who they are. And so I wondered a lot about that, what that was saying to me in 2024, what that might be saying to us, and now we move on. So we pick up where we left off, I guess. Luke 14, 15 to 25. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land. I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' And then another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to go try them out. Please accept my regrets.' And another said, 'I've just been married. Therefore, I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' The master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" So, a parable. We call it a parable. And sure, it's a parable. We're meant to reflect on it and to wonder about it, and its meaning can change. As I do it today, I mean, in the context, right, Jesus is at this dinner party, and he has reminded people, don't be so full of yourself. Don't sit at the head of the table. Sit at the bottom and be invited up as opposed to being shuffled down. And also said, and don't just stay within your own group. Inviting people who invite you back, quid pro quo, don't do that. Invite people that you would normally have at your table, those who can't afford to invite you back to the, or those who you would never imagine having at your table because they're different than you are. They think differently. They say different things. They perceive differently. Invite those people. Keep broadening your horizons. That's how I read it anyway. And then I see this one dinner guest who seems to be getting all of that and sort of says rather smugly, he's very pleased to be in the presence of Jesus and to figure this out, blessed is anyone who'll eat bread in the kingdom of God. Just saying that's what it is, right? I get it, Jesus. This is like anybody who gets to eat bread in the kingdom of God is, yeah, that's the whole point, right? I get it, Jesus. This is a parable. You don't really care where I sit. No, this is what that's about. And then Jesus gives him this parable. So it's in the light of not being full of yourself. It's in the light of broadening your horizons, making it a generous table, bringing other people to that table. Jesus says, okay, so somebody gave a great dinner. Now, when we hear a parable, it's, that'll be God, of course. Sure. Or he could just be reflecting on the dinner he's at right now. Sent his worker. We have slaves, the translation here, but it's a hard word for us. Sent his worker, sent whoever it was, to say to those who've been invited, so come, it's ready. Come on now. This great banquet is ready. And they're like, sorry, I got this land. I got to see. I got these ox. I just got married. You can't expect, I can't make it. So, if this dinner is faith, relationship with God, the one who's throwing the meal, if indeed that's what this is, we have a lovely example, at least I can see a lovely example, of the things that get in the way of my best relationship with God, my best connection to my own faith. I get sidetracked by material things. I bought land. I'm sorry. I've got to do that. I've got oxen. I've got stuff. I've got things to do. I've just got married. I have relationships that are more important to me than my faith. And I listen to those and think, yeah, I hear that. I do hear people say within faith circles, it's only business, right? You understand? It's business. We have to do it this way. I have been proud of my church at times when in secular matters and legal matters, they have chosen to do the right thing as opposed to what they've been legally advised to do, to offer a apology when legally that sets you up. To respond when there are times that just ignore them and they'll go away. No, we need to engage. We need to respond. We need to take responsibility. It might bankrupt the church. Yeah, but we take responsibility. I have appreciated that. I have been disappointed at times when we haven't done that thing. The insurance company that we hire. doesn't fulfill our sense of justice in terms of the way it deals with people, finds ways to not pay out, that kind of thing. And I know that every insurance company is kind of the same, and it's all about metrics and numbers and all that kind of stuff. And I understand, but I'm still disappointed. I hear this parable, but like I would, but how the numbers work. And otherwise if we're going to have insurance for this many people, then a couple of people are just they're going to get a raw deal. And that's just how it is. It's nothing we can do. That's what I hear in this. I'd come to the banquet. I would be full in my faith. I would have my best relationships with my neighbors, with God. But yeah, I got to the numbers. I got a business thing I got to do. I have to make this choice instead. The number of people I know who enjoy a faith community, they like, say they like coming to church, they come to church activities, and then they get involved with somebody, and they go, yeah, but the thing is that he, she, they don't do the church thing, so I'm not going to come as often. And then pretty much they don't come at all, and they have chosen that relationship over the way they have been experiencing their faith. I'm not going to judge them. I don't know. They may have found other expressions of faith and other ways to live faithfully, grow in faith, of which I'm not aware. But I have seen them choose to opt out of one for the other, stating a preference and a priority. And I'm not living in this parable. I'm not blaming them. I recognize it. So when I hear this parable, I go, yeah, I hear that. And I hear me in it too. And there are times we go like, oh, I can't do any more right now. No, I'm sorry. I know that this person is calling and wants me, but I can't do it. Sometimes that is good boundaries, good self-care. But sometimes you have to wonder, well, what did you spend the other energy on? Because here's an opportunity for you to be not only of service, but to grow in faith yourself. You know, and so I recognize that tension. So as not to paint me in too bad a light or to appeal to my Protestant work ethic, I usually do show up for those things. But there are times I don't necessarily want to. And so I recognize the depictions here in this parable. I get these people. Now, what I have troubles getting is the master, who is angry at them. Not disappointed, but angry. The owner of the house became angry, it says. It says, okay, then, you know, go out into the streets and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Well, that speaks a little bit to cultural context, I think. I don't know why the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame weren't invited to begin with. In fact, Jesus did just recommend that that's exactly who should be invited. And in that, I think what Jesus was saying is invite the people that you don't normally have. So already this banquet is kind of the one that Jesus said we shouldn't be having anyway, where we just invite our friends who will invite us to their own banquets. So in that, he says, yeah, so now go get the other people. And if you want to read this as a historical faith narrative, so this might be fine. Then if the faithful Jews don't want to come, then start inviting Gentiles. Right? That's what I hear in that. And I think that's possibly what Luke is leading into, or what Luke is hearing in the parable. I don't know that Jesus was saying that in the parable, but perhaps. So again, the idea is, if the ones for whom the table has been set don't want to sit, then don't let the food go to waste. Don't let the party. Bring other people in. The implication, of course, is that if everyone had shown up, then we wouldn't have invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And this angry banquet thrower, this master of the house, this angry, I find that a little hard to just put that on to God. Because, of course, then the anger gets even more when the worker comes back and says, listen, we did. We got all those people in there. We're still going to be wasting food. We still have empty spaces. And then go out into the roads and the lanes. So go further afield. And compel people. Compel. And the problem with that is, for me, is that it implies that we should force people. And I don't have to look too far into 2,000 years of Christian history to see horrific examples of compelling people to become Christian. As if the goal is to get them to the table, whether they eat or not, whether they can eat that food or not, whether they feel comfortable at that table, doesn't matter as long as we get them to the table and shove some food into their mouths. I find that really problematical. So I struggle with this parable when I read it that way. If, however, I reconsider this parable, say, okay, so the master of the house really is my faith, and it is how I grow in faith. It's not God letting me into heaven or keeping me out of heaven or whatever it is, but it's my faith. And unless I am prepared to seize opportunities, to look places that I have never looked before, unless I'm prepared to be open to other perspectives and other opinions, then I am going to find myself with a stale faith, the one that actually isn't active and isn't doing anything for me. I won't be tasting the dinner at all. I might be sitting at the table, right? I tell you, none of those who are invited will taste my dinner. You know, if you're invited to show up out of obligation, you're not really tasting the food. You're not getting anything out of it. If you are invited and just feel that, well, being invited was all what you really needed. And by the way, there are people like that, right? As long as I'm on the A-list and invited to all the right places, then I'm doing fine. It's not about whether I show up. It's not about whether I engage with people when I go. No, these kinds of events become proof of my social status, proof of my worth. So long as I'm getting the invitations, I don't need to go. I'm invited, that's enough. Well, I have been born into my faith. I've gone away from it and come back to it. But I was born and raised in the United Church of Canada. So that's where I am now. That's where I serve. So, you know, I was invited to the table. And it would have been possible for me to just keep coming to the table and never eating. Just keep showing up because it's good for business. Because it's good for my relationship with my parents. Makes my grandmother happy. All of those things. The kind of things that were sort of echoed at the beginning. I can't come because I've got land. I can't come. I've got oxen. I can't come because, you know, I'm just married. Well, some people keep coming for those reasons too. It's good for my business and it keeps my family happy. The fact is, though, it's not genuine. It's not dynamic. You're not open to anything. You're just going through the motions. And if you're going through the motions, whether you show up or don't show up, it's the same thing. That's what I'm getting from this now. So I need to be engaging. And so whether that means I'm going to seek out those who are marginalized and actually engage in the supper with them. Right, so the point is not to invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, or whoever that may be in your mind, the marginalized. It's not to invite them to give them food. The idea is to invite them and engage with them, to be in relationship with them, friends. That's the whole point of a banquet, is to gather with family and friends. Well, you need to make these people family and friends too, not charity cases. You know, you need to have real relationship. And that's how your faith grows, because the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and again, whoever you may put in that group of marginalized from your experience of life, they have a perspective that you don't have. And you learn more about yourself. You learn more about your neighbors. You learn more about God when you are able to engage with other perspectives. At a table, at a celebration, at an engagement, right? Not at a debate. No, we're sitting around a table, we're eating together. And once you've done that, you know, go even further than you imagined before. You know, and the compelling for me, and I know that I am trying to make this fit my life, where I really struggle with anyone who would see who response to a coercive God. I'm all about a persuasive God, an invitational God is what I was aiming for. as opposed to, you know, forcing you. But, you know, compelling people to come in is, for me, is about offering generous, abundant welcome. To say, no, radical welcome. Please come and be here with us, with me, and let us be together. I've made this wonderful meal. I don't need to be invited to yours. That's okay. I won't turn down an invitation if it should ever come, but that this is not a quid pro quo. This is not performative. This is not so that people can say, oh, look, Norm invited so-and-so. No, I want so-and-so because I want to hear from them. I want to be in relationship with them. I don't want to be isolated like those that we heard about last time who only invite their family and friends, those who can repay them by inviting them to their banquets. No, I want broader and deeper relationship than that. That's what I hear in this. And that makes it a good response to what's already been happening. You know, so we heard again, don't be full of yourself and you know, and invite others. And the fellow said, yeah, all right, this, I get it. No, blessed is anyone who will eat to the kingdom of God. So again, he is saying, Gentile or Jew, faithful, not so faithful, all those, absolutely blessed is anyone. And Jesus going, yes, you get it. But it's not just saying it. It's doing it. And it's recognizing that it's about the engagement. It's not just showing up at the table. It's not just forcing someone to be at the table. It's actually being at table with each other. It's glad to be there, sharing and exchanging, not posturing. That's how we grow in faith. That's what this parable is about for me. And I can use the reminder every now and again when I find it a little easier to simply be with the people with whom I agree or whose challenges are gentle. But sometimes, you know what, I need to invite to the table and I need to accept invitations to the table of those who are very different from me, just as Jesus did when he accepted the Pharisee's invitation, knowing that he would be under great scrutiny. He goes, well, I think there's a message in that. For me. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there with you, and you can spend some time today and see what you think of it. But for now, you know what? Just let me offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for this time of wonder. Thank you for the way that your word emerges when we dare to question, challenge and engage Scripture. And as we hear your word, each of us in our own way, may we respond. And in that response, may we follow you. May we come to the banquet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's enough for me today. I just realized too that I didn't say, in the name of your Son Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Don't know why I did have a Trinitarian closing on my prayer there. I just didn't. Please assume it. Excuse me. Anyway, I do hope you spent some time wondering today. I do hope you come back tomorrow. But even more importantly, I just hope that you know that you are blessed. That means that God sees you, sees you and loves you. God's love surrounds you, but more than that, God's love also moves through you. Others see God in you, whether you know it or not, they really do. That's what it is to be blessed, and you indeed are blessed. So thank you for being blessed and being a blessing, and we'll see you tomorrow.